As many of you know, we try to deal with some of the issues that are currently facing us in terms of society. And over the years, we've dealt with some of the issues that have come up. Sometimes they come up earlier in Canada than they do in the United States. And in the past, we've dealt with the medical assistance in dying, which is something which is already in Canada. Another topic that is coming to Canada before it comes to the United States is the issue of legalization of marijuana. So for this topic, we've always had the pleasure of giving our good and more difficult topics to, I mean, all the speakers can certainly do it, but somehow or other, I don't know, with the luck of the draw or the lottery. So for this topic, we asked Rabbi Dr. Aaron Glatt to speak on this topic. Rabbi Dr. Glatt is one of those that has a lot of time on his hands. He's a rabbi in two shuls. He's a professor and chairman of medicine. He's an author of some books, and we're going to actually be tomorrow before Shabbos having a sheer lecture also on one of the topics that he has written a book on visiting the sick. An author of books and chapters, and really just but more importantly, a wonderful individual who has contributed so much to our conference, and it is really a pleasure to call upon Rabbi Dr. Glatt.
So, 10 to 10. You have to be high to be up here tonight at 10 to 10 to listen to a lecture after three beautiful lectures after a long day of traveling. So we'll do our best to keep you awake. But this is a very important subject. One of the Jewish newspapers in the five towns last week had, Rahmana Litzlan, such a sad article about five Jewish children dying in a very recent period of time from drug overdoses. Unfortunately, this is not the only such article, and those aren't the only five Hashem Yerachem children who have died of drug overdoses. So this is an extremely critically important subject. We've heard of a lot of wonderful, wonderful talks tonight. Fascinating for the mind, intellectually, halachically beautiful. But the information that I'm going to be providing in this talk will truly be life-saving if everybody follows it, because this is something that is a huge, burgeoning problem in our communities, in our frum communities, in our this doesn't happen in our schools communities, we don't need any sort of testing in our community, that's for Yenner. So this is a very important subject. So where do we start? I lost my trend of thought, I'm sorry. What does marijuana do to people? So this is a actual real taped conversation. I know I'm in the wrong country to be presenting this slide, because you won't appreciate it as Canadians as much as US citizens will, who remember President Richard Milhouse Nixon, who taped many of his conversations in the Oval Office. This is an actual recording. On May 13th, 1971, sometime between 10:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m., between Richard Nixon, Bob Hadelman, and Bob Ehrlichman, were two of his main advisors. Nixon. You know, it's a funny thing. Every one of the mamzerim for legalizing marijuana is Jewish. He didn't use the word mamzerim. What the yashka? He didn't use the word yashka. Is the matter with those Jews, Bob? What's the matter with them? I suppose it's because most of them are psychiatrists. It's a real quote. This is a problem that is not a 2017 Tufshin Ayin Zion problem. This was in 1971. And in order to be able to halachically approach every answer, a person really needs to understand what the facts are. I always love to say over this story, I heard from Rav Shechter Shlita. One of the boys asked the Rav, can you use a certain watch on Shabbos in the shir? Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal said, bring me a screwdriver. And he took the watch apart. And then he paskened the shaila. I never asked for Shechter that he put the watch back together afterwards. You cannot paskin a shaila min hashamayim. A novi can give you a horah, sure. But we paskin lo bashamayim he. Famous Gemara in a number of places. You don't listen to a basko. You can't have the halacha come to you. You got to know the facts. So before you can answer a halachic question about marijuana, we have to know what the medical facts are. And I'm going to divide the talk up into two parts. A medicinal usage of marijuana, what is the halacha? And a recreational usage of marijuana, what is the halacha? So, again, I apologize. In the United States, especially in New York, we don't think any other part of the world really exists. We give a lot of acknowledgement to Yerushalayim. I wish we believed it as much as we do, but we certainly don't believe any other place exists other than Yerushalayim. So I give you facts from the United States. I apologize. I do not know what the provinces of the neighbor of the United States to the north. There's no wall here, so we actually were able to come through pretty easily. I don't know what the status is in the provinces in Canada. But in the United States, 29 states have legalized marijuana for medicinal purposes. Another 12 states. So you got almost 40 states that are now really using marijuana or potentially using marijuana medicinally. Which is a paradox because the United States government classifies marijuana as an illegal substance and it is illegal to prescribe marijuana. So even though it's legal in New York, it's illegal in the United States. Tarta desasre like you've never seen. How is that possible? It's legal. If a New York City officer comes up to you, no problem. But if there's a federal marshal, they haul you off to jail. So what basically is right now is that the government has decided to not look that way. Don't ask, don't tell is now the marijuana law in the United States. And basically, the government is not going to prosecute physicians who prescribe marijuana appropriately under the local state guidelines. I'm talking about medicinal marijuana usage. So New York just about 2 years ago, I think now, legalized marijuana, and there are clinics. There are special physician offices, special licensures that allow you to practice and prescribe marijuana. Why doesn't the government agree to that? So this is the official FDA website, what they state. You need to have clinical trials in the thousands of patients, and they officially state that there is not enough large-scale clinical trials to demonstrate the benefits of the marijuana plant, as opposed to certain other cannabinoid products which are FDA approved. I was involved, one of the first studies I did as a young doctor was a Marinol study in patients with HIV infection. And we were able to demonstrate a slight benefit in improving the appetite in these horrifically wasted patients. So I'm not gonna make this a marijuana talk. There are people in this room possibly that know an awful lot more about marijuana than I do, especially those of you that went to BTA like I did. A little inside joke. So there are a lot of different cannabinoid products inside the marijuana plant, and they have many different properties, and those that give you more of a high, and those give you more of a sedation, give you more of a pain effect, other effects. I'm not gonna make this into a medical talk on marijuana. But suffice to say that there's a tremendous amount of NIH-sponsored research, government-sponsored research, industry-sponsored research looking at this issue from a medicinal point of view. And basically, this is the state of the art. There are currently studies underway in all of these areas. It's not an all-inclusive list, but there are real clinical studies underway in all of these. And anybody who's involved at all in the usage of marijuana or is up to date on the field can quote you chapter and verse on some very, very significant anecdotal case reports showing tremendous benefit. It's an honor to be on the panel here with the other Rabbanim and speakers. I know Rabbi Steinberg Shlita is a pediatric neurologist, And one of the particular areas where marijuana has some phenomenal effects, I know of one case I'm privy to, familiar with, a young child who was literally having several hundred seizures a day, uncontrolled on four or five medications, who now has about three seizures a day on marijuana. This is a case report. This is anecdotal evidence. This is not double-blind prospective clinical trials. But it's very hard to ignore such evidence in individual patients where they literally have no alternative. And there are studies looking at this. So what does halacha have to say about a physician prescribing marijuana for that child with seizures? So I could not find a single posek under any realm that I could think of that would assa the usage of marijuana under those situations. And it would be no different than any other treatment where there's a risk-benefit associated with the usage of any medication, and where a physician feels, based upon his reading of the literature, you don't have to have ironclad evidence that a drug will work and have zero side effects. We wouldn't be anywhere in terms of any of the trials that are underway if we're required, from a halachic point of view, 100% guarantee that the pill would help you, and a 0% chance that it would hurt you. They always joked and say that aspirin and Tylenol would never get FDA approval if they came out today because of all the toxicities that weren't realized and known at the time. And there are essentially no drugs that are 100% effective and 0% dangerous. So there is a risk-benefit ratio. And because the FDA may or may not approve something, or the equivalent body in Canada of the FDA may or may not approve something, doesn't mean that that's the final stand. That's not how Shulchan Aruch paskins. That's not how we make decisions halachically. So a physician, in his or her appropriate analysis of the literature, feels that it is appropriate. I have a good friend of mine, just retired from 40 years in oncology practice, and the only thing he does now is prescribe marijuana, legally, medicinally, and he feels it's of great benefit in selected patients. Does that mean that it should be utilized by every single physician every time a person says, I feel a little bit nauseated, or every time a person, you know, has a suggestion of a seizure, or they have intractable pain or something like that? No, absolutely not. That's not medicinal correct. But under the appropriate either clinical study or under the appropriate clinical utilization, I think halacha has zero objections to medicinal marijuana usage. You know, we could argue how effective it is. A physician who's a knowledgeable physician, who's prescribing it for a specific medical indication when other attempts at therapy have not been successful, I think halacha, I'm not talking about medicine now, I think halacha would have zero objections to it. Another physician may disagree with that advice from a medical point of view, but if you ask a Rav Shaila in this situation, I don't think that there would be any objections to its usage for a purely medicinal purpose. That's the easy part of the talk. Now we go to the talk where everybody's more interested in, and that's, what about chilling out with your spouse on a Thursday night, the kids are asleep, you had a tough day, you invite some friends over, and you have a marijuana-laced brownie? That could never happen in my neighborhood. Well, I don't know what neighborhood you live in. Maybe if you live in Mars or Venus, if you live on planet Earth, this is happening in many, many communities. From communities. So this is a real issue. Forget only high school students, and forget only people off the derech. This is a real issue for good kids, bad kids, tall kids, short kids. It's a problem for kids, and it's a problem for their adult parents. And people get high for all sorts of reasons, or want to get high. What does halacha say about that? And the next question that everybody always asks me, well, what about drinking, or what about smoking, or what about other drugs? And I'll be happy to talk about those as well, but I was asked to speak about marijuana. But a lot of the answers that I'm going to give you for marijuana, from a halachic point of view, not from a hashkafic point of view only, not from a don't do it point of view only, apply just as much to smoking cigarettes, alcohol, and other mood-changing, illicit, or even legal substances. What does the halacha say? So again, you got to know the facts. I'm sure with all the physicians in this room that we will not come to a consensus on the likely rate of something occurring, the statistical validity of some of these statements, to what extent they're true. But this is all from the CDC's website. I'm not trying to make a case that's stronger or weaker than it really is. And nothing is 100%. It may occur in 3% of people. It may occur only partially. It's not a absolute. Every single patient that ever smoked a single reefer is going to have every one of the problems that I've mentioned. But some will. And 5 kids are dead in one Jewish community in a short period of time, and that's mimicked by the same problem throughout every Jewish community. And the fact that the numbers may be different than a non-Jewish community is very little help. Doesn't make me feel any better to know that our rate may or may not be lower than the rate in a similar non-frum community. So the CDC says that you will get many, many problems from recreational marijuana usage, including all the issues dealing with addiction. Assuming it wasn't even at all medically dangerous, addiction in and of itself is a real problem. Gambling is not medically dangerous. It's a huge problem. Another talk that I'm sure Reblazer is going to ask me to give sometime. So gambling, when shuls have stalker events that involve teaching the wrong things, as Dr. Pelkowitz just mentioned, you show them what's important when 3 people show up for the Rav's in-depth drasha on a sugya in Bava Basra and 600 people show up for the poker night or the single malt whiskey night or the smoking cigar night. These are all real events, all real stalker things that are going on in all of your communities. That's a problem. That's addiction and all those issues. There are absolutely mental status changes, brain changes, all sorts of fun things that go on inside your head. Not 100%. But it occurs in a significant percentage. We can debate back and forth what that number is. I don't think the answer is truly known. It definitely causes short-term attention, memory, and learning problems. It affects relationships and moods. There are actually other hardcore medical abnormalities, lung, heart, CNS. But most importantly, in my opinion, it's a gateway drug that leads to more harder substance abuse. Everybody refers to it nowadays as substance use. We used to call them IVDAs. Intravenous drug abuse, now it's intravenous drug use. That's a horrible way. So it's like when we talk about euthanasia, it sounds so nice. If you call it ritzicha, it doesn't sound so nice anymore. So it's intravenous drug abuse. That's what it is. It's not politically correct. All the literature stopped using the term IVDA. It's now IVDU. But it's a gateway drug that leads to much more serious problems. And that's a fact, because if you look at all of the children, Nebuch, Rahmana Litzlan, that have significant drug problems, if you look at those children, every single one, Billy Guzma, has smoked marijuana first. So I'll point out 2 interesting stats, because it's 10 o'clock at night, and you need to have something to wake you up. Kinei Bosem, Chamishim Umosoyim, from the parish in Shmos, that deals with various plants. Kinei Bosem, this etymologist over here, who I don't think is Jewish, from Warsaw, has suggested that the origin of the word cannabis is the Hebrew word Kinei Bosem. She goes through an entire long listing as to why that's true. So you'll remember one fact from this entire weekend, Kinei Bosem, cannabis. That will be something you'll definitely remember. You like that. Second totally irrelevant fact is that some people have quoted the pasuk that says, It's called Eitz Asher Bo Priyed Zorei Azera Lochem Yel Yochlo. A heter for marijuana usage. You can do with it. God said you do with it whatever you want. So these are interesting and totally irrelevant to the halachic discussion. What is much, much more relevant, and if you look, and I've done searches as best as I can, there are very, very few tshuvas written on this. And the tshuva of all time written on this is by Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, the Gadol Hador from the previous generation. I gave you the address there. I actually printed the entire tshuva. If you look in the book, you would have to have, I think Dr. Polkowitz would require you to have about a 50-week stay in that 40-year-ago apartment to get your eyes to the point where you could read the tshuva from the handouts in the booklet that I gave you. But here's the entire tshuva, and I'm not going to read the entire tshuva to you, but I did find actually an easy highlight of this on a slide, so I just printed out the slide from a Sefer Mireach Nichoach, which highlights the points that Rav Moshe made. This may be a little bit more legible in the booklet, but if that's not legible enough, so then I actually wrote it for you in English. So this may be able to be more easily read. Rav Moshe's conclusions, which I doubt really surprise anybody in this room, is that it's absolutely forbidden to smoke marijuana. This is the same Rav Moshe who did not, very, very famously, did not asur smoking cigarettes. That's a whole separate discussion, what Rav Moshe said about this, why. And Lanias Dati, if you put down the medical facts from 2017 into the exact tshuva, don't change a word that Rav Moshe says other than the medical facts, you would read his tshuva exactly the other direction. Because he was often saying that it's not enough medical facts, not enough medical facts. Well, if you put in the new medical facts that we know compared to his last tshuva, which was written in 1984, his first tshuva was in 1964. So in this situation, if you put in the facts from 2017, Lanias Dati, Rav Moshe would read differently for smoking. But there are many, many, many other poskim, if not, came out all poskim today that asur smoking. But Rav Moshe, back in the time that he wrote his tshuva, which was in the 70s, I believe, said it's obviously forbidden to smoke. And here is a listing of his reasons why. It says it violates many laws of the Torah. This is an issa d'oraisa. This isn't an out-of-touch rabbi, as I've been told, telling people what they should do because he's an old fuddy-duddy. This is Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal saying it's an issa d'oraisa. He says it causes harm to a person. It destroys the mind. It doesn't destroy 100% of the people. It doesn't destroy it after a single cigarette. Rav Moshe's consensus is that it's very dangerous. I think there's enough medical information today to support that. It prevents one from properly understanding. You can't study Torah. Imagine if you're smoking weed and then trying to learn a difficult sugya in Rambam, trying to reconcile Reb Chaim Brisker. It's just not possible. It creates a very strong desire that you can't control, which he says in and of itself is a sin, to create a desire in yourself that you can't control. And he brings as an example of this from a Ben Sorer Morer, who we know is halachically killed at the age of 13 to 13 and 3 months, because it's preferable that such a person shouldn't be allowed to grow up into full adulthood. Very difficult concept for us to understand, which of course the Gemara says in many places probably never was actually such a case. So it's really more of a theoretical construct for us to teach us a moral point of view that you shouldn't do stuff that's going to make you addicted. And Rav Moshe paskins that lahalacha. An interesting additional point of view is that very few of these children's parents are thrilled to hear from their teacher, your son's having a lack of attention. He used to be an A student and is now a C student. Seems to be drifting off. He's not showing up mentally or physically. Which parent wants their child like that? It's an absolute transgression of kibud av v'eim. If you know your parents have told you not to smoke, and then you go and smoke. That's a psak halacha from Rav Moshe. That's not a musa shmuz. That's a psak halacha from Rav Moshe. If your parents don't want you to smoke reefer, you're not allowed to. Halachas kama v'kama as well. Other things that your parents don't want you to do that aren't good for you. He brings on a Ramban who says, you're over kedoshim tiyu, a transgression of a daraisa. And he says it will cause many other desecrations as well. And he paskins, this is a grave prohibition. Now this tshuva was written to Rav Moshe by a principal in a high school who said, what should we tell the bachrim? And Rav Moshe says, one especially has to make sure that yeshiva bachrim don't do this. Rav Moshe wasn't giving a heter to anybody that's not a yeshiva bachrim. But this is a huge problem. There are a couple of other tshuvas I'll just bring to your attention because they highlight or accentuate or even bring down additional yisurim that I was able to find a very interesting sefer on Shulchan Aruch, the Asher Chonan, by Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chanan Apelelo. And again, you can't read this so easily. But he basically says that cigarette smoking is an Issur Torah, essentially. The reasoning being that you'll be held accountable by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything that you do that diminishes your ability to learn and to live. And he says when you're addicted to something, you're basically saying you're throwing off all Malchus Shamayim. So two additional things that Rav Moshe didn't exactly touch upon or maybe alluded to. See, paskins again, lehalacha, that you can't do this. He brings down as well, it makes you into a shote, causes you to lose your fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your all Malchus Shamayim. You miss Mariv, onis rachmona patre. That doesn't work. Not when you do it lechatchila, when you're causing it. When a person is forced to do something that goes against the Torah, but he didn't have any choice, he's not held accountable. They put a gun to your head and say, eat this tray for meat, so then you're allowed to eat the tray for meat. It's not even supposed to give up your life unless it's under certain situations where they're doing it tzilahachis because you're a Jew and they want you to be over on the Torah. When a person smokes to the point where he's changing his ability to function, which most people, when they smoke, they change their ability to function. They're certainly not showing up 10 minutes before davening to say korbanos. They're certainly not showing up to their daf yomi, mishnah yomi, whatever yomi, chabura, chavrusa they have on time and with a full heart. It's okay, so onus rachmana patri. Says that doesn't work. You are causing this. And therefore, even though you may be in an inebriated state, even though you may be in a high state, even though you may be no longer right now aware of what you're doing, you cannot use onus rachmana patri. God forgives those that aren't in control because you caused yourself not to be in control. He says another isser. There's an isser of shichicha. We're always told to chazer, 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 chazer. You have to constantly go over and go over and go over. Eddie was talking about a different type of chazer. It's chazara. You have to go and remember your learning. If you do something, a person with Rahman Slan gets Alzheimer's disease, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold you accountable for not remembering your learning. But if you intentionally do something that causes you to forget your learning, it's an issa d'araisa. Torah prohibition. Another posek, the Osri LaGeffen, another Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yeshua Sheinfeld, he says again, smoking marijuana is an Isser Gomim in a Torah. He has a couple of very, again, because of the lateness of the hour, I just throw them out to you. He says that grass is the Rashi Tevos of Gasus Ruach. And he says it's the same gematria of Hu Hu Amolek. Hey, very, very cute, not halachic. But the idea behind it, he says, is you're throwing off. What does Amalek do? They threw off the Ol Malchus Shamayim. And that's what a person who is getting to the point with any drug, and including marijuana, but not limited to marijuana, causes you not to be able to be an Oved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says it makes you lazy, you make missing davening, you miss Man Kriya Shema, all the wonderful things that we hopefully try to inculcate into our boys and girls. To be zealous in the performance of mitzvahs. We have to demonstrate that ourselves. If the parents themselves don't go to shul, then you can't tell them to go to shul. One of my rabbis obviously say, to accentuate what Dr. Pelkwood said, if all your kids ever hearing you do is say, don't talk in shul, as they're talking in shul, it's a guarantee that they will tell their children, don't talk in shul while they talk in shul. So if your parents are the role models for the children and the parents are smoking and the parents are drinking, what do you expect is going to happen to those children? I put in a couple of other tshuvas, which I won't go through over here, Rav Avadya says Zatzal. He says, absolutely one shouldn't do this. Rav Shlomo Zalman, Roy Shalol Ashen. The Tzitz Eliezer is maybe the strongest of all of them. He basically, again, says it's absolutely also. He goes to town on Rav Moshe Zatzal. The Shomer Pesayim Hashem argument that Rav Moshe uses, he tears it apart. He says, how can you possibly say that it's permissible to smoke because everybody smokes? He says, it's not a heter. And just because a certain percentage of the kids in the class are smoking weed or taking other drugs, or a certain percentage of your adult friends are using these medications, quote, that doesn't give any sort of a heter. And the Shomer Pesayim Hashem, he says, doesn't apply. So, halacha lemaisa, min hadin, it's not again a hashkafic talk, although there's a huge hashkafa here as well. All the poskim in writing say for various reasons that it's either this reason is possibly an issur Torah or it's definitely an issur Torah. I could not find one posek who in any way, shape, or form suggested that it's mutter. There was one of the tshuvas that I you couldn't see there, where to show you the strength of addiction that a person has. This was a Baal Tshuva who was now sitting in Kola for about 15 years learning. And he went over to his Rebbe. That's the question in one of the Tshuvas that I had there. And he goes to his Rebbe and he says, I remember when I was not yet a Chozer B'Tshuva and I used to smoke marijuana. I remember it seemed to help me study sometimes. 15 years later, he's been sitting in Koilo, doing nothing other than learning. He goes to ask his Rebbe Shala, he thinks if he smoked a little bit, it would enhance his learning in Koilo. That's the power of addiction. A warped sense that he thinks that he'll learn better if he starts smoking marijuana. And the Rebbe takes him to task and says, that's ridiculous. Bottom line is, I can't tell you that everybody will get all of the things that Rav Moshe and the other Gedolim here talk about in terms of complications or halachic issues that will come up. Just like with a single drink of alcohol or a single time a person smokes a cigarette, that in and of itself isn't necessarily dangerous, although there's, of course, acute alcohol intoxication that could, of course, be driving under the influence of marijuana, et cetera, et cetera. You could die from a single usage. I'm not getting into that even discussion. But the potential ramifications for other deleterious behaviors, physical abnormalities, mental abnormalities, not to mention the horrible effect it can have on a marriage, on children, on your observance of mitzvos, all of these put together make it an imperative, I think, for us to tell children in schools, to tell balabatim in our communities, that it is asur min haTorah to regularly smoke, and for many to ever smoke marijuana from a halachic point of view. And I didn't even get into the isurim that Zdina de Malchusa, the Chilul Hashem, Nebuch, we've seen too many times, Nebuch in very recent times, mugshots of very frum-looking Jews in the newspaper. It's a tremendous Chilul Hashem for a person to be doing something illegal, to be caught doing that. It's bad enough that they're doing something illegal, to be caught doing that is a tremendous Chilul Hashem. In 3 weeks, one of the things that we want to do is increase our Kiddush Hashem and not make more of a Chilul Hashem. So I don't want to sound like a preacher, and my time is up, but I think that this is very, very important for us to impart to the balabatim in our communities, to the children in the yeshivas, and it's never too early to start in elementary school, certainly in high school, and in college. Yitz Hashem, next year, Lazer, you'll invite me to give a talk on maybe something a little bit easier and not so preachy, but it's been my pleasure, and again, always to be associated with Rabbi Jay Rebitson and Lazer Shena and the entire Torah in Motion, and of course, the wonderful other speakers who I'm honored to be with, Rabbi Steinberg, Rabbi Rachman, and Dr. Polkowitz tonight, and all the other speakers that are here. Thank you very much for listening.
The hour is late. We're going to daven Marv in a few moments, but we'll just take perhaps maybe one or two questions because Like I said, we want to move along. Once this is done, we're going to go back to the shul downstairs. We'll daven Maariv. Tomorrow morning, Shacharis is at 7:15. And if anyone has a question, Rabbi...
It's a very important question that you're raising. Opioids are a big problem, but opioids can also be an extremely useful medicinal therapy, used appropriately. I'm willing to go out on a limb and say that I do believe that marijuana has some benefits medically, that we should treat it like any other restricted substance. And just like you shouldn't be prescribing narcotics, opioids, all sorts of other very, very potent medications, without having a clear reason why, without checking, at least in the United States, in New York, you have to check a registry, who else prescribed them that before you're allowed to prescribe it. There's something called X-Stop. You really have to make sure you're doing it right. I think in today's radio, they announced 4,000 people that were being brought in under this narcotic over-prescribing, including 56 physicians. So this is a huge problem, but that doesn't mean that we should not use opioids. We should use them appropriately. Because marijuana has tremendous potential for trouble, doesn't mean that we shouldn't look at the potential medicinal benefits that it may have. Yeah. So for those that didn't hear fully the question, which is, again, it's an argument that is being made that marijuana has certain benefits to it. I don't disagree with that at all. Those benefits need to be established under appropriate medical circumstances. And if you showed me, we'll put half the boys in Lakewood on marijuana and put the other half not on marijuana and see who knows more Gemara at the end of the study, then we could talk about a medicinal benefit. But for an anecdotal usage of recreational marijuana for the theory that it's going to make the person learn better, I think that's not within the realm of medicinal usage. It certainly doesn't fit into the halachic parameters of saying it should be used. And again, as with a drink to relax somebody, as with occasional usage in the appropriate setting, there may be some benefits, but that has to be very, 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 I can't add enough varies, carefully done and prescribed and watched. And his Rosh Yeshiva should really fahar him after he does something to see the benefits of it before you'd even get into the question, should something like this be considered. Well, they should read the CDC website. They should look at the studies in Nebuch. They should read the Jewish newspapers, because there's a real potential as a gateway drug, and that's something that is certainly under-evaluated, as it's often the start of a very, very, very slippery slide downhill. Okay, thank you very, very much.